With a look at your latest local news, I'm Jevy Ebanks. Customs and Border Control carry out another migrant repatriation operation, sending six Cuban men back to the Republic of Cuba. CBC says the group left today around 12:55 p.m. aboard a regular Cayman Airways flight escorted by CBC and prison officers. CBC Director Bruce Smith thanked partner agencies for their support, calling it another successful operation. With this latest flight, 20 Cuban migrants have now been repatriated since the start of 2026, and authorities say 24 irregular migrants remain on island while processing continues. Government continues to modernize the country's solid waste management system. Environment Minister, the Honorable Catherine Ebanks-Wilkes, said back in November, Cabinet approved policy guidance to get the ball rolling.
We are also in the final stages of concluding the key residual items and thus our involvement with the previous regen project. These closeout discussions are progressing steadily and will formally conclude the government's involvement in that initiative.
Government pulled out of the regen project, a DART-led consortium to build an energy recovery and recycling center in 2024. The minister says government has initiated the early development of two, quote, critical pillars of Cayman's long-term strategy, the National Recycling Program and the broader National Solid Waste Management Solution.
Although both initiatives are still in their early phases, the foundational technical work is actively progressing. As part of this, the project team is updating the waste flow and waste volume analysis to ensure that future planning is grounded in current data.
For recycling program and the long-term solution specifically, Ms. Ebanks-Wilkes says the project team is shaping the terms of reference to set out a steering committee by the end of March. Leader of the opposition, the Honorable Joey Hugh.
Just ask the minister if the ministry and the department is still comfortable with the timelines and the lifespan of the current landfill.
Mr. Speaker, I wouldn't want to put on Hansard's that I am comfortable. I am certainly not comfortable, but we don't have any new concerns that have arisen. We still feel that we are on target and we have capacity.
The update came in response to a parliamentary question in the House. The testimony and cross-examination of the detective superintendent who led the investigation into the murder of Christopher Johnson dominated proceedings in the Grand Court today. Johnson was found dead on the 31st of December, 2024, in a workyard on Middle Road in Georgetown. Demetrio Frederick was later arrested and charged with his murder. He denies the allegation and remains on trial. The detective superintendent is the final witness expected in the Crown's case. He outlined the steps taken throughout the investigation and the conclusions he reached. During cross-examination, lead defense counsel, King's Counsel George Carter Stevenson, challenged the officer on what he described as inconsistencies in the investigation. Inconsistencies, the defense argues, point away from Mr. Frederick being responsible for Johnson's unlawful killing. The court heard that investigators found shoe prints in disturbed earth near the body. The officer explained that the police attempted to match the prints to anyone with access to the property. However, they were unable to link the prints to any staff member or to Mr. Frederick. He told the jury that the shoe prints were not the only evidence relied upon, emphasizing DNA evidence, including material recovered from beneath the fingernails of the deceased, which was obtained before the shoe print inquiries were complete. Carter Stevenson, KC, pressed the detective, arguing that he failed to consider the possibility of another suspect, particularly after no matching shoes were found on the compound and no such shoes were discovered when Mr. Frederick's home was searched following his arrest. The defense suggested it would be reasonable to conclude that someone else wearing those shoes may have committed the crime. The detective disagreed, insisting that the DNA evidence was the primary link to Mr. Frederick. He added that it was common in such cases for offenders to dispose of items used during the commission of a crime, and that the absence of the shoes did not exclude Mr. Frederick's alleged involvement. He further stated the police found no evidence indicating the involvement of any other person. When challenged that he refused to investigate information that might exclude Mr. Frederick, the detective rejected the claim, saying no other lines of inquiry led to any alternative suspect. The officer highlighted several pieces of forensic evidence: DNA found under the victim's fingernails, a single hair belonging to the defendant found in the palm of the deceased, and a mixed DNA sample containing both the defendant's and the victim's DNA profiles. The defense also questioned whether Mr. Frederick's brother or a homeless man known to frequent the area had been considered. The detective said the brother's DNA did not match any samples from the scene, and there was no indication that the homeless man had any involvement. The trial continues in Grand Court next week. The government says a new mortgage law will make home loans clearer and give borrowers more protection when they hit trouble. Radio Cayman's Elizabeth Charles takes a look at the Registered Land Amendment Act 2026.
The Minister for Planning, Lands, Agriculture, Housing and Infrastructure, the Honourable Jay Ebanks, has led a package of mortgage transparency reforms through Parliament. The Registered Land Amendment Act 2026 is the government's new framework for how banks explain loans and how they act when a mortgage falls behind.
These amendments are deliberate, they are measured, they are balanced, and they are about clarity and fairness. They are about ensuring that when Caymanians enter into a secure lending arrangements over their homes, they fully understand what they are agreeing to. They're about ensuring that where challenges arise, there's a structure engagement before enforcement, and they are about ensuring that enforcement, when necessary, follows clear, transparent, and standardized rules.
The ministry says the law also improves the disclosures borrowers receive and requires advanced written notice when interest rates change, so customers get clearer warning about shifts in their payments. A new formal pre-action engagement process is meant to force earlier conversations between lenders and borrowers, set out options, and manage defaults in a more orderly way before enforcement begins.
This bill does not weaken the lender rights. It strengthens the process, it strengthens the transparency, and it strengthens the confidence in Cayman's land and financial system.
Officials say the act is meant to provide a predictable set of rules for both borrowers and lenders while supporting confidence in the land registration system and the wider property and financial markets. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Elizabeth Charles.
Thank you, Elizabeth. In a statement dated March the 10th, the ministry said the law will come into force on a date appointed by a cabinet order and further consultation with financial institutions, legal practitioners, and other stakeholders. You're listening to Radio Cayman's Evening News. It's full support by the National Coalition for Caymanians Administration for a private member's motion asking lawmakers to mandate redline documentation for all legislative changes in the Cayman Islands. Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller explains.
So first off, what is redline documentation? Mover of the motion, MP Kenneth Bryan, says it's a lot like tracking changes in a Word document. There's the amendment bill, which is proposing changes to a piece of legislation, and then the redline document, which shows exactly what would be added to or taken out of the existing law.
We've all been in a position where we are in committee stage, looking at a bill that says delete subclause A and substitute subclause B. And even for those of us who live and breathe legislation, it can be a bit of a maze.
Mr. Bryan says a redline document will give MPs tools to explain potential legislative changes to the public, quote, without getting lost in the technical code of drafting.
When we pass an amendment without a redline, we are essentially sending our small business owners and our citizens on a scavenger hunt. Many of them feel that they have to hire a lawyer just to find out what a three-word change means for their business. In a time when we are all concerned about the cost of living and cost of doing business, we should not be imposing what I called a complexity tax on our people.
And the NCFC administration is on board. Premier, the Honorable Andre Ebanks.
The motion from our standpoint is accepted. We'll put the resources and the training in place because it not only helps every single one of us, it also helps the public. And I'd like to pick up on the point that the member for Georgetown Central said. This is an opportunity for Cayman to show it's innovating.
Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Carsley Fuller.
Thank you, Carsley. While private members' motions allow for debate on important topics, they are generally non-binding on the government. The Cayman Islands Chamber of Commerce and Department of Tourism team up to educate everyone about how tourism fuels the economy. Radio Cayman's April Cummings reports.
Cayman's tourism industry is getting the animated treatment in a new video series called Tourism Matters. This is the third installment in the Chamber's award-winning Growth Matters series. And this round, like the name suggests, is all about how tourism powers daily life across our islands.
Almost every Caymanian knows tourism is one of the two pillars that support our economy.
Voiced by Radio Cayman's Jevy Ebanks, the series aims to underscore the message that tourism isn't just about full hotel rooms and busy airport arrivals. It also means paychecks for people in every district, artisans who sell their work, chefs who showcase Cayman dishes, tour guides, and taxi drivers who share the islands with visitors.
It showcases our culture and beauty of the Cayman Islands to the rest of the world.
The series targets students, young professionals, and the wider community, using simple animation to explain how our economy works and how tourism can open doors to careers in hospitality, transportation, entrepreneurship, and the creative industries. Tourism Matters also helps mark the Chamber's 60th anniversary as it continues a push to build a future-ready workforce. For Radio Cayman News, I'm April Cummings reporting.
You can watch the full Growth Matters series, including the new Tourism Matter series, online at growthmatters.ky. Ring in spring with an evening of music on Sunday at the Harquell Theatre.
We launched the Lillinell Music Fund in 2022, and this year we will continue to support that fund through concerts. The one coming up on the 15th of March, that is a very, very special one because it's the first one that we've had outside of the church.
John Gray Memorial Church, O'Hara Holliban, tells Radio Cayman the show will feature many performances, including pieces by pianist Glenn Inaga, classical vocalist Eric Nicholson, and the Cayman Male Choir. The show starts at 6 p.m. on Sunday, and you can get your tickets, which are $25, by WhatsApping 925-5531. The concert is a charitable event supporting the Lila Nell Ebanks Music Fund, which provides financial support to young Caymanian musicians. Finally, K-Fest on Film is taking over Caymana Bay Cinema this weekend with two full days of locally made movies on the big screen. Filmmakers and curatorial panel member Judy Singh Hurlston says the event is designed to showcase Cayman's talent on every level.
We are so excited to work with other local filmmakers to put together a program of locally made, produced, written, acted films. And you wouldn't believe how much talent we have in our beautiful islands.
Screenings run Saturday the 14th from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday the 15th from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Caymana Bay Cinemas. Full schedules and panel details are online at kfestonfilm.ky. That's your latest local news. I'm Jevy Ebanks. Have a good evening.